Our next question for how do you do that is how do you roast coffee? And as I said when we started this hour, I found myself walking through the streets of Manhattan, walking about 20 blocks to find real coffee. And as much as I love great coffee, I don't really know how the roasting process works, and I also don't know if you can do it at home in any reasonable way. I mean, you can roast vegetables, but can you roast coffee beans on a cookie sheet? Would it even work? So we asked Renee Colon to join us from Fuego. Fuego is on Liberty Pole Way one of our favorite little coffee shops in Rochester. In fact, Renee, it's only been open less than a year, but you're getting quite a devoted following, aren't you?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So, and you and your husband Tony's been on the show before. You're here now because you do the roasting, don't you?
I do.
How often are you roasting coffee beans over there?
Normally every 2 or 3 days at the most.
Every 2 or 3 days, okay.
Yeah.
And how big is a batch when you're roasting?
It depends. I try to do small batches because coffee is really best used within 10 days. So I usually do between 5 and 10 pounds, but we have a lot of wholesale orders to do. And if we need to do a wholesale order, I'll go up to maybe 25 pounds in a batch.
So you're saying that for those of us who have coffee beans sitting around at home for weeks and then months, that they're not defunct, but they're losing a little bit of their quality.
Yes. After 10 days, they're really starting to lose their flavor and their caffeine.
Okay. Well, let's go through some of the technical process first with the way you do it. When you roast, and we say, how do you roast coffee? You have a large roaster? Is that what it's called?
Yes. Okay. It's a large flame coffee roaster. It's an Ambex.
Okay. This is not the kind of thing that you would do at home.
No, absolutely not.
Okay. In your operation there, you are roasting every several days, and then it's just one batch at a time. You're not mixing Guatemalan with Puerto Rican with Mexican beans, right?
Correct. Okay. As of right now, we're only doing single origins.
Single origins at a time. How long does it take to roast coffee? I don't know if it takes 5 minutes or 5 hours or 5 days.
It really depends on the size of the batch, first of all, what kinds of beans they are, what their water density is, the size of the beans, and what kind of flavors you're trying to get out of the beans. You can tweak the size of the flame, how long you stretch out the length in the machine.
Mm-hmm.
A 5-pound batch could be anywhere from 8 minutes to 15 minutes.
Okay.
A 25-pound batch is upwards of 35 or 40 minutes.
Okay. And what temperature are you roasting at?
I tend to drop my beans into the roaster when the roaster gets to be about 380 degrees. And then there's also a thermometer for the beans. And I dump them in the cooling tray. I think the hottest the beans have ever gotten was 425 degrees.
How long do they have to cool once it's done?
Really just a few minutes.
Okay.
I mean, the beans technically will stay roasting until they're cool. But even the big batches, if I do a 30-pound batch, that might take 5 minutes to cool down.
Light roast versus medium roast versus a dark roast. And by the way, when we say dark roast, we don't mean a burned roast. And once in a while, when we hear the more bigger chains, when they hear dark roast and everything tastes like, I don't know, campfire, that's probably burned. Is that fair to say?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. She's not here to malign specific brands. We're just talking about the actual process. And so there are a lot of burned flavors. So a dark roast doesn't have to taste like burned coffee. But you guys don't do very much dark roasting, right?
Not really. We really try to roast and to brew to bring out the flavors of the bean. And we personally don't prefer dark roast. We feel like a lot of the flavors have passed on, and it's kind of ignoring the flavors that could be there. And the darker you roast the beans, you're actually losing more caffeine.
So a lighter roast is more caffeine in general, and it's
yes.
Also more the natural flavor of the bean, fair to say?
Exactly.
Okay. So is it fair to assume then that if you want to have a light roast, you roast for a shorter amount of time, medium roast longer, dark roast longer, or is it more about temperature?
It's really both. Both play into it. The thing about doing too light of a roast, you have to be careful because on the lighter end, it tends to be a lot more fruity and a lot of that brightness or acidity that you might not want. So it's a tricky balance.
Does anybody come in asking for the lightest? I mean, what's the lightest roast you can do?
Really, you have to wait until the beans start going from endothermic to exothermic heating. Before it gets to the exothermic, which is where the beans are giving off heats as well as absorbing heat. And that's when the flavors really start coming out and the sugars start caramelizing and the water's being expelled from the inside of the bean.
How do you know when it's done?
Well, you listen for first crack, and that's when the water really starts getting pulled from the bean. And then after first crack, you can keep an eye on the color, and if it looks raisiny, if it looks a little bit wrinkly, that means it still has more plumping out to do and a little bit more flavor to come out.
So you hear that crack.
Yes.
And you're actually listening for it. That's,
yes.
That's an important cue for you.
It is very important.
Okay. How long does it take to get to that first crack, by the way?
It depends on the size of the batch, as always, and the height of the flame. And it usually hits around 370-ish. It could be a little bit earlier, maybe 360, a little bit later 380. But it's usually around 370.
Are they all roasting at the same rate, or do you have to move them around?
Oh, they have to be constantly moving. There's a drum inside the machine with fans that constantly keep the beans moving because you don't want one bean to be getting more roasted than the other. So the beans always have to be moving.
What makes a good coffee roaster versus sort of a subpar coffee roaster?
It's a really hard thing to explain, and I've tried to show people what I'm looking for when I'm pulling out samples of the beans. And it's sort of science, but it's sort of art at the same time. And it's really hard to explain exactly what I'm looking for. Obviously, uniformity of color, and you don't want it to be raisiny. But it's, you got to get the feel for it, I guess.
You, when you talk about that raisiny, it's very interesting that you want to get it to the point where it plumps out, like you say, but you also don't want to overdo it. So there's probably a fine line.
Exactly.
And is it the kind of the case where, as a roaster yourself, you know a good roaster and a bad roaster when you see it?
You really can when you look at beans. Beans should never be, for example, very dark or oily. I know that some roasts do bring out the oils, but generally the oils happen when it's over roasted. So you, when you're looking at coffee beans, roasted coffee beans, you never want to see oil.
Okay. Now, let's briefly talk about how to do it at home. How do you roast coffee at home if you actually wanted to do it? I mean, I roast vegetables. If you put coffee beans on a cookie sheet, I don't suspect you're going to have much success, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you can, in small batches, do it at home?
It's definitely possible, and there are a variety of ways you can do that. A cookie sheet is one. A pan on the stove is one. A popcorn popper is another. The problem with these is it's a lot trickier. You don't have the temperature. You can't see the temperature at all times, and you really need to keep the beans moving. If they're not moving, again, some will be over-roasted, some will be under-roasted, or if it goes too fast, the outside of the beans might be roasted and the inside's still green.
And I've also seen certain little devices that are a little more expensive. I figured you couldn't get a real roasting device at home for less than $1,000, and it turns out I was wrong. What did you find?
Yes, you actually can get home sample roasters. The first is a Coffee Tech roaster, and it doesn't come with a source of the heat. You have to supply your own flame. What I like about that is I prefer flame roasted beans. However, that is between $250 and $450. There are a couple others like the Gene and the Baymon 1600. The Baymon's a little less expensive. The Gene's a little more expensive. The thing about those is they both supply the heat source, but neither of them are flame.
Okay.
So it depends on what you're going for. If you're going for the control, absolute control, and you want to see the temperature at all times, or you like the flavor of flame roasted, but you lose that consistency with the temperature.
And so you're not going to be able to do it at home with that kind of a device, for any device for actually roasting for less than $250 or $300.
Right.
Okay. So it's not cheap, but if you love it, maybe you give it a shot.
And
if you do, where do you get the raw coffee beans? Where can you find those?
Oh, you can get them from a variety of places. I know that some cafes even sell the green beans. We've traveled to farms and got green beans, and we also get green beans right now through Cafe Imports and Thrive Coffee Farmers. So they're definitely green suppliers.
Renee Colon of Fuego Coffee, last question for you. Your favorite coffee roast you're doing right now is what?
Oh, at this moment, it's the Burundi. I love that Burundi. And today we actually have it on as espresso as well as a brewed coffee, and it's incredible. I absolutely love it.
Thank you for taking the time to tell us. How do you do that?
No problem at all.